Podcast. Hello, this is CK Thompson coming to you from beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, and I thank you for listening today. It's been a cool day in Las Vegas. I have Mike Thompson with me in the studio. Hello, Mike.
Well, hello, CK.
Hey, you're filling in for Brian for me. Brian's usually, this is Prophets Don't Wear Plaid with CK Thompson and Brian David. And Brian's still on sabbatical right now.
Just consider me as Brian Sr.
Brian Sr.? Okay. Thanks for being in the studio. We've been having a very interesting couple weeks here. I haven't put out a podcast for a while, but it's been on my heart. Man, I need to get this out there. I pray that all of you are having a really good October. It's already, mid-October. And, boy, there's so much going on, so much activity in the atmosphere and in the heavenlies and in the world and in politics and in America, the body of Christ, and in the spiritual realm. Wow.
A lot of spiritual warfare, CK, but also
yes,
a lot of angelic, supernatural, wonderful God stuff happening in the spiritual realm, too.
Exactly. And, you know, Mike, we were going to, just so people know, we were going to share a clip from briefly from last Sunday, where the Spirit of God came on me, and I gave a word in our service here locally, and we're going to play it. It's also on a YouTube video, and right now it hasn't even been up there 24 hours. It's got over like 2,000 views. It's just going nuts, but the Lord has been speaking to us about the election and Donald Trump and mm-hmm. Pence, and about the Elisha issue going on there that people need to know. And actually, the biggie is that people need to understand, and there's a lot of confusion that people are dealing with about the times and seasons. They're trying to discern the times and seasons. Clearly, something's happening in the spiritual realm. I mean, you don't have to be a prophet to notice that something's going on here. But if they have not been tuned in and learning how to hear from God for, you know, and just don't recognize, a lot of them are confused and they are easily swayed or led astray because of all this activity. And they're really, really looking for answers. That wasn't meant to be diminishing of anyone in any way.
Right.
But the fact is that even Jesus, you know, he did rebuke the Pharisees for not being able to discern the times and seasons.
Correct.
And they were the spiritual leaders of his the people of God. Mm-hmm. And they didn't recognize, you know, they believed, the very Pharisees that rejected Jesus and crucified him were still waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting, religiously waiting for the Messiah, and when he stood in front of them, they rejected him. They didn't expect it to come in that vessel. They rejected the vessel they didn't recognize because they expected he was coming a different way. So their hearts were closed. And I've seen a lot of this now with there's some really religious stuff going on out there that, you know, people like trying to take a stand. Well, I'm not going to vote for anybody. You know, that's the dumbest thing you can do, first of all.
That's for sure.
choosing not to vote is choosing, it's choosing. You're choosing to vote for someone else. You're giving up your authority. You're not being a doer of the word. No, you actually do have to make a decision. God's calling people, and they're in the valley of decision right now. And, you know, probably a lot of people listen to this after the election, and they're going to know what's going on. But I do know this. On November 9th, America is going to be, one way or another, it's mm-hmm. going to be right up there with one of the most divided nations.
And the most divided in its history, probably, other than the Civil War.
Exactly. We're very, very divided, already heading that way. But this election is it's like the bell going off for the fight. I mean, the fight's already been going on, mm-hmm. but the bell rings, and and then we'll have a different fight on our hands. Whoever wins, do you realize that? But here's the deal. The Lord's already told us that connected with this election, revival is touching down. It's already begun. And we have been seeing such supernatural manifestations all of a sudden in our own lives, in our own ministry, in people, the lives of people around us. It's already touching down. But revival will look different depending on the outcome of this election. I know, I believe, I in fact, I know that I know the will of God for this election is Donald Trump and Mike Pence. It's Elijah and Elisha.
Yes.
Elijah was the crude prophet that was
the fiery prophet.
The fiery one. He called down fire, literally. Didn't he kill the prophets of Baal? He did. I mean, he killed them. Straight up killed them. And gave Jezebel a run for the money. He wouldn't bow down to her. He caused trouble all over the place. And even in the New Testament, referring back to him, it says that Elijah was a man of like passions as we have, and yet the Lord heard his prayers and shut up the heavens for 3 years and didn't send rain until Elisha said so. I mean, he was a mighty man of God. He was a very emotional, passionate man. And he was not politically correct.
No, he was not.
He wasn't religiously correct either.
No.
To a lot of people. But he ushered in Elisha. And he came in, and he was the one that was more pastoral and comforting of the people. He loved the people. He loved to be around the people. He didn't have an abrasive personality like Elijah did. And the Lord just showed me Mike Pence. There's more to this than people realize. Mike Pence has the hand of God on him as well. Of all those people running for office, I think probably most Christians would agree, maybe I could be wrong about this, that Mike Pence would be an excellent man, qualified in everyone's mind, just for having the temperament, etc., and the relationship with God, the understanding of the things of God. He's not a proud man. He's not a Pharisee. That's what people don't get.
Right.
That's why the Lord chose him out of the bunch. And but on his own, he couldn't be able to get in there. God needed the wrecking ball, Elijah, Trump, in order to slip Mike Pence in there under the radar.
Yeah, the system had to be changed in order for that to be accomplished.
Exactly. Because, you know, if you come right out and say, we want an evangelical Christian president, then you've already lost. In America, the non-Christians and half the Christians won't vote for him. Because they don't want a religious president. They just don't. And the other half of the Christians apparently would do. But God just refuses to get religious about this.
And he has a plan.
He has a plan. I mean, this has been like fire in my bones. And it came out Sunday, boy. I watched the video and almost scared myself watching that thing.
Oh, you did such a wonderful job, though.
Well, thank you.
Very anointed, very articulate, and the revelation was prophetically astounding.
It shows you that it was God, huh?
Yes.
I had to go back and watch just to see what I said. It was a very powerful room, man. So much freedom to speak. That right there tells me there's a change coming in the atmosphere. It's already begun. I have not felt that kind of freedom to speak, to let her rip, spiritually, prophetically, in ages. I'm starting to think maybe ever. I don't know if I've ever felt this kind of freedom to speak, or perhaps the clarity. It's just off the chart. It's here. You know, it really doesn't matter who wins the election. You know, bear with me before you freak out. No freaking. Simply that God has a way. He will do what he's going to do in America. But he is calling on his people to take a stand and actually do something stretchy. If you don't like Donald Trump, then at least vote for what he stands for. At least vote because of the judges, the Supreme Court judges. There is so much at stake right now. It doesn't matter whether he's considered crude or doesn't have the temperament, which is actually a lie. That's just someone else trying to define him to our country. They don't even know him. But God does. And he's gotten to know God in the last year or so. And people don't know what goes on behind the scenes. So it's exciting. But in this season, I'm going to read something that I found in my Bible. I was saying, Lord, what would you like me to say to the people to comfort their hearts? And so I found this. And then I found this. This is my own chicken scratching. Some of these things the Lord showed me decades ago. At least a decade ago, some of it. And I didn't realize. We didn't know what was coming.
Read it.
He said, and I took it from Deuteronomy chapter 8, reading verses 7 through 19. I don't have my Bible open to that at the moment. I was reading out of the Amplified. Get your Bible and read it. How about that? Nowadays, get your smartphone and let it read it to you. The Lord said, in this season of the apostle and prophet, and that's where we're at. That's where we're at. And that's also one of the things that's confusing to people, that for the first time, it's not the religious moral majority that's ushering in the next president. It's actually the prophets and apostles.
Yes.
This is a first for America. It's historic. In this season of the apostle and prophet, the Lord is bringing his people into their good land. The covenant promises that he gave you years ago, the dreams and visions, all of the joy and destiny that he promised to you. Now stop and think about it. What that means to you. It matters to him that you get to experience it and actually walk in those blessings now. It's time to stop waiting and actually get to walk in it. Things are speeding up. Answers to prayers are suddenly just going boom, happening. Some of you have stood and believed God for years, but your time is now.
Yes.
God's timing for the body of Christ is now. Everyone has been tested in their hearts by that spiritual storm in the atmosphere in our country. But to those who overcome, who persevere, who follow the Lord, who are able to perceive the form of the Lord, see the form of the Lord, recognize the form of the Lord, perceive the voice of God amidst all of the voices out there. Your day of destiny is now here. It has arrived. I mean, we should be rejoicing, not whining, you know, about, God's got this. God's got this. It's really, wow. And see, even as I'm saying that, as soon as I said, God's got this, did you feel that anointing just sort of like just drop in here?
Yes, definitely.
He's been telling me about that. You know, the word says that the Lord's fast in Isaiah 58, I believe. He's fasting spiritually, but, you know, doing it for the Lord's reasons. That those who fast, that the glory of the Lord will be their rear guard. And the Lord is our rear guard. We've been living a fasted life, and sometimes you wonder if it makes any difference in the natural. But the Lord is our rear guard. And even for all the stuff that people go through, the things that we've been going through, etc., just if there's any buffeting or any of that, think what it would be like if the Lord was not our rear guard.
We'd be in trouble.
Yeah. He's got it. He's got this. So be comforted. Be encouraged. Take courage. The Lord is on your side. And even in Hebrews, where it says, I will not fail you or forsake you, in the Amplified, it literally puts it out the way it would have been was it written in Greek?
Yes.
The Lord says, I will not in any degree leave you helpless or leave you without support or abandon you, assuredly not. Therefore, we take comfort and say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I mean, the Lord cares that much about his people. Even in the midst of all of the clamor and everything that's going on, it's an amazing time to be alive. What a time to be alive. This generation gets to see things that other generations have never seen. Maybe they felt it in their hearts. The angels wanted to see these things. Angels have been looking into this. And there's new angels here that are so excited to be here because they get to be in on it. They've been waiting.
And it's being revealed through the church right now.
Exactly.
yes. world affairs and all the stuff that's happening.
But he's doing it through the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the book of Ephesians, that he would make known the mystery of the kingdom through the body of Christ. You know, the devil doesn't even find out about it till it invades the earth through God's people. Through you, people. God wants to use you to show the devil which end is up. Mysteries, things that have been hidden in a mystery, are being opened up and unsealed at this time. It's amazing.
It is.
So I know we're going to get around to listening to that clip. I share a dream that you'll hear in a few minutes here. Oh, and I was going to, before I go any further, I forgot to say thank you, and I want to. Not only thank you to all of my listeners, and for still being there, because, yeah, we were kind of out of there for a while, but thank you to the Streams of Many Waters podcast network and the great podcasters there. I love you guys. I love the McGowan family and Brenda and Mike and just everybody over there. I just love you guys. These are great times. You guys, I appreciate you. I appreciate all the listeners. And let's rock on here, huh?
Yes. I think we should play that clip for the people, because there's so many people that are wondering, you know, what is going on. They,
yes.
And they need affirmation. They know what they feel in their heart. Mm-hmm. But the confusion comes because of the spiritual warfare and the activity in the heavenlies.
Yeah.
All the stuff in the natural realm and in our society. And it plays with people's minds.
It
and
does.
So they're not sure. And there's fear, there's complacency, and there's confusion that tries to set in.
Yes.
So
and
God
yeah.
is, and deception. And God has answers.
He
so
does.
Let's play this clip and let it
and you know
answer
what?
Some of those.
The emotions of God came through so much on this, in that prophetic word. It when I was up there giving it, because I thought, wow, it's a pretty strong word. So I just want you to feel the comfort of God and know that He loves you and He's going to bat for our country, and that's why He feels the way He feels.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing was, someone
yes.
asked a question, so I want to just get this out of the way right now, because at the very beginning of the clip, I was talking about the young lions are roaring. And the young lions are, you know, America is mentioned in the Bible. The young lions are the English-speaking, now you help me out here, because you're the Mr. Theology, okay? So
that's what everybody
know,
calls me.
Where is that in the Bible? Is America in the Bible? Some people try to label America as Babylon, and I'm like, hello, no way.
That's true, that's true. Now, it basically in Ezekiel 38, the 13th verse, it talks about when Gog and Magog attack Israel at the end times, that there are some Arab countries around Israel that rise up to defend the land, the area around, because they don't want to be overrun either. And it mentions the young lions. And so it, in the natural, talks about those villages, those countries that there are, you know, young lions, violent ones that will rise up to protect themselves and Israel. But it's considered by many Bible scholars, and particularly those that look at the prophetic aspect of it, that uh-huh. it is prophetically talking about the English-speaking nations, that England is, symbol is the lion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that all of those English-speaking nations, Canada, United States, Australia, New Zealand, etc., that have come forth out of Great Britain are the ones who stand with Israel. So they're considered to be...
They're the allies of Israel. And
right.
They are the young lions.
The young lions.
Okay. So we are in Scripture. And that's what the first... That's how this started. When I woke up, and there's an angel that had opened up my Bible, and it talks about it in the clip. But the Lord started right out with that the young lions are roaring. Thank you for helping with that.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just get to it then?
Let's do it right now.
All right. The young lions have roared. The young lions have roared. Did you know that in the Scripture, the young lions are the United States and Britain and the basically modern-day allies of Israel. We're the young lions. America, Britain, Australia, New Zealand, the young lions. We're in the Bible. And it said, first of all, he said, surely the Lord God will do nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, I'm going to say something that may sound political, but it's not. It's about revival, not politics. It's about the will of God to bring forth a destiny for his people in America and to keep his promises and keep his word. And did you know that America, in general, even the Christians, some of them, are asking God for a king? And they're willing to let the king that's in there stay king, that spirit over this country that is actually wants to put God's people into captivity. That's why the Christians have been so divided. Because he said, if I can get my people to just agree on one thing, it would be over with. But Pharisee is such a strong, subtle spirit. Religion, religiosity, and people don't realize that's what it is. And their pastors are either afraid to tell them the truth, or they're so caught up in that whole religious, churchism, religionism spirit, Pharisee, that if you try to tell them this is what God said, they laugh at us. They laugh at us like we're stupid. They laugh at us. They want a king. They don't want a righteous judge. Did you know that Donald Trump has an anointing for the prophetic on him? He's a prophet anointing. He has that. He's a marketplace prophet. That's why he's been a prosperous man all his life. His grandparents were part of the Hebrides revival in Scotland. He has an anointing in his family to not only bring about revival, but to be part of prophetic things. Have you noticed the things that he says actually happen? Oh, prophesy yourself right into office, sir. But here's what Pharisee has been doing, because we've been doing it for so long. Pharisee has been saying, if my people who will humble themselves and pray, anybody know what I'm talking about? And seek my face, then I will heal their land. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Thank you. Because it got to where I couldn't read that scripture anymore because they were using it as a hammer to manipulate people politically. And get everybody constantly repenting, 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 repenting. Repenting, 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 repenting. I'm done repenting. The Lord said, stop repenting. They are using it just like, you remember when I told you about the group that keeps praying for revival? They keep praying for revival. That's what Pharisee does too. Especially the spirit-filled Pharisees hooked up with the serpent and the spirit of religion. They pray for revival, and then when it comes, they shut it down. And there are main, because it takes away their control of the people. Just like Jesus did with the Pharisees, it incited the people. They couldn't control them. That's why Jesus called them whitewashed sepulchers, full of dead men's bones. He called them names. Because it took away their control and their agenda over the people, their power. And so there are spirit-filled denominations that have hooked up with the serpent and the spirit of religion. The Lord told me that. And they have spent generations praying for revival, and then revival breaks out, and they shut it down, or they make that pastor have to choose whether he can stay in their denomination or if he has to leave. And some of them choose to leave. And they're the ones that God blesses and honors, and they go on into having souls. They're winning the nations. But the ones that get shut down, you know, they bow down to Pharisee and the serpent and the spirit of religion. And people are going to hell because of it, and they have blood on their hands. This is no light matter to the Lord. And that's one of the scriptures that they have used to beat people over the head and keep them under control. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Do you hear it? Keep them humble and praying and not listening to God, because God has answered that prayer a long time ago. Listen to this. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has nothing, if he has taken nothing? The lions are roaring. The young lions are roaring. There's a cry coming out of America that the young lions are roaring. And the Lord is hearing the cry of his people. And I said, oh Lord, why can't I just say, God said that Donald Trump will be our next president, because I believe that is his will. And he said, if you tell them that, how many of them will just sit back then and do nothing? They won't take their position. They won't vote. They'll just pray. And he said, I am calling for a people, the manifest sons of God. This is the day of the saints. And he said, I'm trying to get my people to get together and go and do something and do what I ask them to do. If you ever been in unity, this is the time. If you believe in unity, get off your hypocritical Pharisaic butt and go vote for Donald Trump. You want to get into unity? And it says in the Word, in the blessings, Deuteronomy 28, that people shall see that you are called by the name and in the presence of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Yeah, they're afraid of the Christians. They're afraid that if the Christians actually got into agreement, we would change everything. And the Lord said, the lions are roaring. But this is like Moses. They didn't like the vessel that I sent. I sent a vessel. You know, you can't choose the vessel. God always does those things. You know, he does that all through the Word. He did that. He sends a vessel that the people weren't expecting. They don't like the vessel. They want it to be more religious. They want it to be more refined. They don't like the vessel. They didn't like Moses at first. Yeah, they never stopped griping at Moses. Really? He stuttered. He was not real leadership material. But he knew the form of the Lord. God talked to him face to face. And they still had no fear of God and murmured against him constantly. And the Lord said, sometimes, you know what? I do these things on purpose. They ask me for something, and I'll send it by way of a vessel that they weren't expecting and they don't like. And if they won't accept the vessel, they don't get the answer to the prayer. I've sent the answer. The young lions have roared. People pray and ask God for an answer, and then they reject the vessel that he uses. The Lord said, manifested sons, you are manifested. That means brought into the light. It's your day to take your position and rise up as actual sons of God and be a doer of the word and put feet to your intercession. Souls are in the balance over it. Revival. And I'm not saying there wouldn't be revival, but a whole different, it would look different. It would look different. Revival under this king would look different. We don't want that. We want to be able to freely preach the word of God and have revival just rush through this nation and without being shut down and regulated right out of the right to worship God, ridiculed by our own government, trying to take away and change what we believe so they can continue to murder innocent babies and so they can elect Supreme Court justices or nominate so that they can, I know this sounds like a political speech, but this is the Lord. God wants to get his judges in there. You know, he used judges before kings. They asked for a king. He had judges before that. This is important, people. It's important. Judges. The judges that are going to be appointed will either uphold the Word of God and the Constitution of America, or they are going to uphold this king's agenda for America. And this is our shot. This is our shot to say, you know what? You know why, Pharisee? You know why, even in, see, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, just so you know, I don't have an agenda on that way. Because the Lord told me to do that about 10 years ago. If Pharisee gets its way, how many babies are going to die for over the next 4 years? This is what Pharisee thinks in the government. Now, I'm speaking as a seer, okay? This is what Pharisee thinks. He thinks that he can get away without supporting Donald Trump and just let the other side win. They're throwing the game on purpose so that they can have a shot at it how they want in 4 years. That's what they want. They don't care how many babies die between now and then. They don't care what happens to the Supreme Court. They actually are stupid enough to think that they will have a shot at it in 4 years. They're that stupid. That is a stupid notion. America won't be the same in 4 years. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. But he said, people got to hear it. People got to know it. Don't reject the vessel. Elijah was a crude, you know, he was really a crude man. He was a prophet. He cleaned house. He killed the prophets of Baal. I mean, he whooped up on Jezebel big time. And in the natural, he was not a real likable guy. People don't realize that. I was dreaming a dream the other night. I was singing. Well, actually, I dreamed that several years ago. And I dreamed it. I hear myself singing, "These are the days of Elijah." I dreamed about the poisonous gas 10 years ago. And the woman that was speaking and coming into the room, people were dying all around us. Because the gas, and she burst into where we were. We were worshiping in a conference room. And she burst in with her minions. That was a really cute movie, too. I wish they hadn't used that name. Anyway, she burst into the room. It was like, you know, in the Ten Commandments, we could hear people, you know, on Passover, you could hear people dying. You could hear the wailing down the street. And unless you had the blood over the doorposts, your firstborn were going to die. It was like that in the dream. We could hear wailing and crying down the street. This poisonous gas had been released on our country, and people were dying all around us. And here we were in a room, a conference room, and I was trying to lead worship. And in the dream, we were running around trying to get our equipment together, and it was just kind of crazy. And so I thought, while I was waiting for the equipment, I was singing, "These are the days of Elijah." I just thought, I have to do something to encourage the people, because they can hear death all around them. So we started singing, "These are the days of Elijah," but I didn't have any words. I didn't have the words for the people, and I forgot the words, some of them. And I was just fumbling around up there trying to lead people in, "These are the days of Elijah," you know, and "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes." You know, we were singing it, man, the best we could. And that while we were trying to get the equipment put together, this woman in a uniform burst through the door with her soldiers and minions and all around her, and she came in and people started dying. They started falling to the floor and dying. They started coughing and falling, because every time she spoke, and we came up to, you know, to confront her, and as she spoke, that's where the gas came from. The poisonous gas was coming out of her when she spoke, and it was just spewing all over and killing everyone. And people were on the floor, and I was trying to sneak around and find a place into a corner and not get her attention. I didn't want to die either. And the Lord showed me a little piece of, I know there are all kinds of symbolisms, but I'm just, I don't know, I wasn't planning to share this, but I saw a piece of purple paper that had been cut, thick purple paper. And I grabbed it and I bent down. I refused to get on the floor. I refused to bow down to that thing. I refused to die because she said we should. So I put the purple paper over my face and just kind of just bent over and hoped she wouldn't see me. And the next thing I knew, I was standing up and I was breathing just fine. And people around me started standing up and everybody woke up. Everyone in that room was raised up, whether they were dead or not, but they were. Everyone rose up. They got up off the floor. They looked at her, and they just refused to die. I forgot about that dream until just this week. And the Lord brought it back to me like, oh, I was thinking terrorist attack or something like that in the natural, the poisonous gas. It was the words. It was that spirit being released on our country. And it was killing people. They thought they had to die because of it. They wouldn't stand up to it. They were afraid of it. You know, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. If you believe God, even if you're the only one that believes God, you'll be spared. You don't have to go down with the rest of them. So, days of Elijah. Elijah was a crude prophet. He didn't like to be with people. He was always getting into trouble. He was emotional. And he paved the way for Elisha, who was the one that was pastoral and liked to be with the people and cared for the people. Have you ever noticed Mike Pence? That's Elisha. We've got Elijah and Elisha running for office here. We've got, you know what? Elijah was the wrecking ball. And Elisha was the one that came in and stepped in and brought peace and comfort to the people. And that's what we've got. Elijah and Elisha. And the Lord says, vote for Elijah and Elisha. So some people have said, yes, that's, and you know, if the Lord has told him to say that he will be the next president, I believe it. I just know that according to our ministry, our job is to help the people rise up and take their position and be doers of the word and not hearers only, and actually act on what God says, even though in the face of opposition and, you know, we got to be doers. We got to do it. He wants to invade. The kingdom of heaven is invading earth, and he wants to do it through us. He's not going to just drop it. He wants to use his people. We are his body on the earth, and we need to act like it. And his body needs to go in and vote for Donald Trump. Okay, I think I got the message out. I'll let you...
Wow, man, that was really good, sweetheart. Wow.
Well, that's pretty plain, isn't it? Oh, yeah.
I like the way that you just told it straight, because it's the heart of God. That's what people really want, is they want to know what God's heart is and what his will is for America right now.
And how much it matters to him. And that we can hear, we can know, and how much... That really struck me, too, about... Yes, we can tell people that, you know, I know that some people are doing that, telling people who's going to win the election. And the Lord specifically constrained us from doing that. He told us not to, because he's using us to call people. It's like an altar call, folks, you know. I've set before you life and death, blessing or cursing. Therefore, choose life.
Awake to righteousness.
Yes.
Be the army of God. Choose life. Choose yes. God's way and go forward.
And that's part of the new season, is that God is raising up his body to do great exploits in the earth. And we can't start out by sitting on our butts and not doing, you know, just the basics of like voting.
And realizing that's an act of spiritual warfare.
Exactly. It is.
You know, the Bible says that that faith must produce works. There are works of faith. And so you can't just sit home and just pray and then not vote. There's no legs, no action put to your faith. You know, the Bible also says that render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. The vote is Caesar's. So spiritual warfare is in the vote. Yeah. As believers will rise up and go forward and do what's right. They vote the word. They vote their morals. They vote their convictions. They're aligning themselves with God in heaven and what his will is on earth.
Yes. And man, don't vote personalities.
No.
Don't vote the status quo.
No.
It's time to not care what anyone thinks of you. You were so funny Sunday, Mike, when you said that you had a bumper sticker, a Trump bumper sticker, Trump Pence, and you said you were going to go out and put it on your neighbor's car and see what happened.
Yes.
Now, that's smart. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, that's been happening so much. You know, there's a member of our church that told me Sunday that they've had their Trump sign tore up and stolen 3 times. They've had to replace it.
Out of their lawn?
Out of their lawn.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there's a lot of anger out there. Intimidation. There are so many people. You can't even believe the polls because people are so under intimidation right now. They won't tell you the truth of what they're voting for. They were saying that most of the polls that if it's an actual person that they're talking to, the polls, of who's ahead and all that stuff. It's going to change by the time this podcast even gets out. But they're all just all over the map. And they're having the feeling that they get more of an honest response if it's a robotic phone call or, you know, it's not an actual person because people are so intimidated or embarrassed to say if they're voting for Trump in some parts of the country. They can't say it to their friends. They just quietly, you know, keep their mouth shut and then go do what they want to do in the voting booth.
Right.
So the intimidation, I've never seen anything like it before. So don't be afraid and don't go with peer pressure.
That's right. In fact, let me just have 2 minutes. I wanted to share with the people what really is at stake.
Please do.
Number one, revival. Mm-hmm. Revival and the protection of Christian values in our country are very much at stake. Because, you know, I had a vision here a couple of weeks ago. I shared it. It's on video on our YouTube page, etc. But in that vision, the Lord told me, he caught me up in the second heaven, and he told me to rebuke, to come against and to stand against the ruling spirits of Jezebel and Pharisee. See, I've been preaching about the political spirits, but when he said ruling spirits of Jezebel and Pharisee, immediately, you know, there in Ephesians 6, where it says that we wrestle against principality power and the rulers of darkness, that scripture came at me, and I realized...
Wicked spirits in the heavenly
places. Yeah, because a lot of people think about Jezebel and about Pharisee in everyday life, and that's understandable, because minions and underlings in the spiritual realm pick up those, but they are ruling spirits that are fighting for the control of our nation. They're not fighting each other, because they're both demonic. They're using people to fight each other to destroy the nation and to rule. And that is a thing that God is tearing down right now. He's raising up Trump as the wrecking ball, as the steamroller, as the one who is going to, in the natural realm, while he puts his hand on him, to change things in the spiritual realm so that it can bring us to revival. Revival is the important part, is the key. The second one is that change in the political system must happen because, you know, I think that most Americans feel that the government is out of touch with their average needs and that they're being held captive by the far left and the far right ideologues that are pushing for their own personal agendas, not for the good of the country. Another one is abortion.
Yeah.
Another one is national security. Another one is economy. Another one is borders, immigration, law enforcement. All of those things are at stake. And the far left, Jezebel, will just emasculate and render completely ineffective. She'll tear them down.
That's what she does. That's what that spirit does to men. That's they're trying to retrain men in America and emasculate them.
Definitely.
That's what political correctness is about. Don't
yes.
be a man anymore. That's like,
that's right.
It's open season on Christian men.
Oh, very much. Men in general, but Christian men for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I have done polls for the last 20 years in every major men's group that I have taught at or been in control of. And the number one, see, the question that I usually ask them, and I have them record it, mm-hmm. physically write it down, is what is your, what is the biggest opposition to you being a man of God in the United States of America right now? Number one is the emasculating of Christian men by political and religious
correctness.
Mm-hmm. That's Jezebel.
Wow.
We don't need Jezebel. We can't have her. But I want to finish by saying one other very important thing that's at stake.
Okay.
Is this, are the Supreme Court justice.
The judges.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Those being nominated, up to five of them possible.
Wow.
By the next president. And all of those other ones that I mentioned actually come underneath the Supreme Court justices.
That's
they
like
have
the
power.
Important.
So it rises up as being the most important.
Wow.
So those that don't like Donald Trump because he's a little abrasive, oh my lands, he's a fiery prophet.
He is. He doesn't even know it yet. I was hearing, I even heard, was it Lance Wallnau who was talking about, because he's been around him a lot. He said the Lord gave him that assignment. He gave Donald Trump to him as an assignment in prayer. And it was hard for him to take on that assignment. We know the feeling because we always stayed out of politics until last April. And April 7th is when you had that first vision that angel came and told you that the hand of God was on Donald Trump. He showed you Donald Trump and told you to pray about the, and you know, that the dogs of hell had been released against the one with the hand of the Lord upon him. And, you know, with fear and trembling, we stepped into the arena because the Lord told us to. We would not have done it otherwise. But Lance Wallnau was talking about being around Donald Trump. You know, he's like the first president, probably the first president we've had who not only, I mean, he loves Christians. He actually loves Christians. He cares about Christian values. It matters to him. He has spent the last 10 years getting his own life together. Personally, Donald Trump, I'm talking about Donald Trump.
Yes.
Made a decision. He doesn't drink, smoke, spit, whittle, or chew, or go out with women that do. No, he doesn't do those things. He had a woman problem, like Samson in the Old Testament, up until about 10 years ago, and he made a decision that he didn't want to have that in his life either. So even though before he knew the Lord, he made a decision that he was going to be a man of integrity. And that's why his wife didn't want to talk about the accusations and so forth that come against him, because those all happened, if they happened, and a lot of them didn't, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you as a fact. Well, I'll finish the thought first, that they won't discuss it because he already made the decision and she wouldn't marry him. I mean, she would not stay married to that man until he made the decision to be a man of integrity and stop being a womanizer. And he made that pledge to her and to be a good father and raise his children right. And that's what he has been doing for 10 years. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that what the gospel is about, is forgiveness, you know?
Right.
And he's come to know the Lord just within the last couple of years. He's what people would call a baby Christian, whatever, which I think is kind of, that's diminishing. That's a Christian. I mean, at least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist, according to Jesus. So that it really matters. But he said the thing he'd never seen before is not only does he love Christians, but Donald Trump listens when he especially loves the spirit-filled Christians. This is different. He loves to be around prophetic people. He loves to be around the tongue talkers.
Yes, he does.
When they talk, he's even said, you know, I love to hear you guys talk. Something about the prophetic, something about spirit-filled believers wakes up something in his heart, and he loves to hear it. He listens. He listens to God.
He does.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yes.
The other point I wanted to make was that I know for a fact, personally, from my own history, when I saw that woman on TV, when she first came out, the one that said that he groped her on an airplane, and she stopped for a minute, and then she went ahead and told her story. I can tell you two things about it, maybe three. One, just looking at it prophetically, I knew in my heart that she was lying. I knew it was not a true story. And that's pretty, okay, number two, that's hard for someone like me because I am a former victim of rape and or sexual abuse and or both, okay? More than once. And I know, I always know when a person's telling the truth when it comes to those things. I believe people when they say they've been abused, when they say they've been raped, whatever it is. I generally believe them because my heart, I can connect with the authenticity of what they're saying. So at those two things right there, I knew right off the bat, and I even turned to you at that time. And
yes,
I said,
you did.
I said, that woman's lying. That woman is not telling the truth. There was none of the normal, what you see, attributes of people that have been abused or molested. They generally, even after years of help and so forth, they still struggle with shame. It's hard to just tell the story. It takes the healing power of God to even get me, for instance, to the point to be able to say this. I have to this day, I have to battle the shame and embarrassment and things like that, the stigma that it tries to put on a person when someone has sinned against you that way, sexually.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. That woman was so flippant. So just in the natural, I could tell it wasn't true. But see, I used to party with... I'm going to tell on myself while I'm telling on her. I used to party with college-age kids when I was in high school. Well, that, you know, that's how I met you. You were in college. I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And one of the... There's all this rock music they would not play on the mainstream radio, but college kids listened to Velvet Underground. Anyone remember Velvet Underground? There's a song called The Gift, and when she started talking and saying about his, he was like an octopus, his hands all over me, that kind of thing, I stopped. I thought, what? She is quoting Velvet Underground. I guarantee you, you find that, you can find it, Google it, look for it on YouTube, and write in Velvet Underground, The Gift. And when it comes up, go to, it's, you know, and there's probably different versions of it. So the one that I went to, go to the mark, 4 minutes, about 36, 35 seconds, and listen. Word for word was what that woman said. She was quoting a rock group.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty pathetic, man. So, I really don't want to leave the podcast like this at this point, but I just want you to know things are not as they appear, and it's time to trust God. If we've ever trusted God, our best days are ahead of us. These are days of destiny. God loves you personally. I want to thank you so much for listening and for putting up with some of the stuff that, you know, this prophet doesn't wear plaid. I really don't. It's just a joke. But life or death, blessing or cursing, choose righteously. And right now, you know, the atmosphere over our country, God's getting ready to absolutely drop revival on us that's going to blow our carnal minds. Seriously.
Yes.
So I want you to know how loved you are. God loves you. And I'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.